The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Welcome to a special, rare, funny edition of On the Rag.
Lol.
That's the end. It's me, Alex Casey. I am joined by Laura Daniel, star of Funny Girls, writer of Funny Girls, Jono and Ben, writer as well?
Yeah.
And star and person.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
person.
Madeline Sami. High on cold medicine.
Cold and flu, Nurofen, cold and flu.
And cold and flu drug addict, Madeline Sami.
There's me.
And sometimes director, but mostly that.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mostly just high on drugs. Is that what you're trying to say, Alex?
Well, that's what I'm getting from this interaction so
Yeah,
far.
Well, you've got a drinking problem.
It's just water, guys.
Yeah, it's true, but you still have a problem with it.
Far too much water.
Too much of it.
It is too much. If any doctors want to recommend how much water I should be drinking, please get in touch on the rag, hashtag OTR pod. Thank you, Lightbox. I like to get all the admin out of the way early. So
seamless.
I want to say thank you, Lightbox, for sponsoring the spinoff, but also bringing us Madeline's show Super City. Isn't that right?
That's right. Thank you, Lightbox.
Both seasons in all their glory.
I've seen the Lightbox.
And is that done?
Yeah. See?
Funny Girls, see? Guys. Let's get into it. 2016. Season 2 is coming.
Ripping into it.
Let's get into it,
Let's
Alex.
Let's get into it.
Oh, we're excited.
You're excited?
Yep.
We're super
excited.
If I could describe the room right now, it would be electric.
I'm feeling that, and I didn't want to say anything because I was like, is it just the Nurofen?
There's an alarm going off, right? There's a bloody siren.
You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Are we in the club right now? Because it feels like we are.
We are raising the roof, as some might say.
Oh, yeah. That's what's happened.
That's exactly what's happened. So where are we at with season 2?
Do we have to pause for the siren? Because like when we're on set shooting, we have to pause for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we've got something that yells, holding for the siren.
Hold for the helicopter.
That's a bit of...
We're real good at that.
It's a bit of movie insight there, magic.
Yeah, I just want to take you inside.
Thank you.
That sounded bad, didn't it?
Inside.
No, it doesn't. Okay. Doesn't sound bad.
No. It's just.
I want to take you inside.
I think you're overanalyzing.
I am, and then that made me feel more. It's more creepy.
Yeah,
it's more creepy. It's fine. Let's talk about the show.
Yeah, let's do that.
Great.
Can I swear on this?
Yes.
Okay.
Do whatever you want.
Fuck.
Get it all out of your system.
That's shit.
This is mostly just a cathartic experience for everyone. Just say whatever you want. You know, we don't know if anyone's listening. Who knows? We don't get any feedback immediately.
I think. Do you have comments? Oh no, you've gotten rid of the comments.
We got rid of the comments on site. We do get them on social media though, so.
Oh great.
They can
talk about how ugly we are on this podcast.
Target you. Ugly voices.
Got a face for podcasts.
her breasts are so small on this podcast.
Cool. The show Funny Girls. Should we go back to the very start when this crazy idea of a female driven comedy sketch show was first kind of introduced to the New Zealand public. Were you on board, Laura, at that stage?
I was. I was put forward in the original proposal, but I was also no one.
Right.
Like, absolutely nobody.
You've always been someone to me.
You didn't have a name.
Thank you. No, just this random chick that had done a few Jono and Ben sketches.
Yeah.
Gone in. But it was one of the few people like that they knew, so...
Mm. You're in there.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I had nothing on. I didn't have a job, so.
Sweet.
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, the pitch went forward, mm-hmm. and then it came on board, and then they said there was going to be a whole lot of people on it that we had not even talked to yet.
Cool, that's a great way to go about things, eh?
Yeah.
Was Madeline on that list? Was she like...
She was, yeah, but you were overseas,
we got cut,
so...
We got cut, obviously.
Yeah, and also, cult. Like, we had to weigh up the amount of talent, like...
Yeah. Too much talent, the boat sinks.
Yeah.
Just the right amount of talent, the boat sails, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, right.
And so that's my burden sometimes, Alex, like,
oh, no.
Too gifted.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel
to, the weight of it is a lot.
Yeah. You are hunching. I did know you are kind of, you are physically burdened, I
yeah.
would say.
Madeline, yeah. Stop rocking the boat. Okay.
Anyway.
Back to the...
So, no, what interested me when we first kind of heard the news of this was that there was immediately kind of a strange scrutiny on the show of people being like, but how many women are actually on it? There was yeah. some kind of prominent... New Zealand comedians on Twitter saying things like that, men,
yeah, yeah, of
kind of wanting to see the, almost like a spreadsheet of the entire production team and how yeah. female was it going to be and blah, blah, blah. I wondered kind of what it was like being involved, kind of seeing that in the very early stages before it was even close to existing.
Yeah.
That it was already under scrutiny that not many shows get, you know?
Totally. We were, I feel like we were, in that first season, we were very aware of, like, okay, what people expected and were thinking, and it didn't, like, when it first came out, it was like, this is going to be made by the John and Ben team, and then everyone's like, well, there's no female writers on the John and Ben team, and I was like, yeah, but the whole point of Funny Girls was developing new talent as well, mm-hmm. which is what we did, and we brought in new writers, and in season two, there's even more, like, it's slow. The other thing you got to realise is that, like, Funny Girls got... bugger all money compared to like what all the other TV shows get.
Right.
So we had to work with like what we had as well. So, you know, there's not a lot we could do with getting lots of established people on board because we can't afford them. Yeah. So we're just kind of like crawling in the dark there, just trying to make do with the best we've got.
Yeah.
You know, the best of a situation. And like the whole time we were very conscious of what people were saying, but at the same time, we're like, let's just focus on making it funny at mm-hmm. the end of the day because we want to make something good. And yeah, we want to have like, you know, women's voices come through, but at the end of the day, it needs to just be funny for everyone. So, you know, mm-hmm. anyone can sit down and watch it. But yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of the news, Madeline, when you first saw these crazy headlines?
Tell you what. No, I was sort of away, so I didn't really... I mean, I saw... I just think... I mean, it's not surprising, I guess, because it always... is like, look what happened with, like, Ghostbusters, that, you know, like, the yeah. kind of controversy around it. Whenever it's women or all women or anything, I don't know, just always... It's always up against it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... So I guess I was just like, yeah, I've learned to ignore that over my own career.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just hoping that it would be ignored as well. And I guess, you know, I mean, it's just always that thing in New Zealand when something gets made, everyone's got something to say about it because so little gets made.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as something gets made, it's like, everyone's got an opinion and everyone knows exactly how it should work. And, you know, it's the same thing that I went through with Super City and stuff as well. It's like, you know, everyone wanted to put their two cents worth in terms of like how, you know, what was the right thing to do or how the money should be spent. You know, there's such a little small pool of money in New Zealand that everyone's, you know, everyone. Yeah. And it's such a small village, I guess. So, yeah, I don't know. I just learned to ignore that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just get on with it.
If you get too consumed with those kinds of things, then you end up missing out on making good content, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if you always, like, listen to what the comments say and all that kind of stuff, then you'd filter yourself a bit more,
mm-hmm.
Which we try not to do in the show.
And I think, you know, like, just from my observation of the second season and the way that team works in it, that John and Ben / Funny Girls office,
yeah.
it is really, like, a massive collaborative effort on a shoestring budget to make mm-hmm. the absolute best possible thing. And it's not about, you know, definitely there's plenty of women. I mean, Bronwyn, who produces Funny Girls, is a woman.
Yeah. It's all been put together by a woman.
Yeah, a verified woman.
She also puts together the whole Jono and Ben show.
Yeah, yeah. She's the master at the helm of the things.
She's the puppeteer.
She is, and she is all over everything. And then, you know, the production team's mainly women and lots of female writers. And, you know, it's not exclusively women, but it is very – there's a very strong female component to the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I guess like the core of the writing behind it as well is this – well, our group Snort, our improv group that we do on Friday nights. Like, we've been together 3 years now, and if you look at the writing team, everyone's in Snort.
Yeah.
So, like, it's also about, like, you make work with your friends, because why would you work with people you hate? Like, you know, because then that's how you make good material, essentially, is because we always, like, we've got that collaborative vibe in the office. We're always bouncing things off each other.
Yeah, I wondered, you know, how there's kind of a bit of a crossover between Jono and Ben writers and Funny Girls writers. I don't know, were you writing them at the same time sometimes? How do you kind of divvy up your train of thought and, like, train of laughs between the two? Like, are you like, oh, that's a bit girly? Like, chuck that on the show. Like, how does that kind of, do you devote your time to different things or?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of the time we'd write sketches and be like, oh, that's more of a Funny Girl sketch, or that, like, the tones are slight, there's a slight difference in tones, and you kind of get used to it. You're like, okay, that joke would work better on Jono and Ben, or that would work better on Funny Girls. But, like, I guess with Funny Girls, you've got a clear idea of what you're, you can kind of write anything. Mm-hmm. For that show. And Jono and Ben, I think it's a bit more, it's been going for five seasons. It's like, there's a structure, so you're not really as confused as to, sorry, that's a boring answer.
No, but it's interesting. And, like, coming, because I didn't, obviously I wasn't involved, I was only slightly involved in the writing, and that I just kind of came in and listened to sketches and watched these guys work and kind of was in the
office. It was cool though, like, Madeline came in when we were writing, like, so we focused quite big, a big focus this year on the season is the behind the scenes, like the narrative arc. Lots of people love that about season one, so we've actually made it a bit longer this year. We focus on it more.
I think it's longer, it's more, I mean, that was one of my favourite parts of last season was just the behind the scenes stuff. You know.
Yeah, but I feel that's on the writing team. Like, we write that and we locked ourselves in a room, and Madeline came in and she'd be like, hey, what about developing this relationship and that relationship? And she'd give us lots of points to, like, think about, and then we'd be like, oh, okay. And then the story kind of developed collaboratively that way.
Abracadabrally. It came too.
That is a movie term I have not heard.
Abracadabrally is like a buddy comedy starring me and Laura.
Out in a week.
That's how fast
we'll make it tonight.
That's a fast turnaround.
These guys are crazy. Oh, like, they write the show in a month, basically. And it's mental to watch, but they all worked so hard to, like, get this thing made, and everyone, and, you know, they're
still
all
trying to make it fun.
Still trying to make it fun, still trying to keep their relationships functional.
And it was straight, it was like during comedy festival as well, so it was just, everyone's got their own shows going. It's like, it was a nightmare.
Do you have, like, breakdown? Did you have nervous breakdowns and stuff? With balancing all of that?
I did, actually.
And Laura's doing Jono and Ben as well.
Yeah, yeah, I did actually, straight after comedy festival.
Cool.
I did.
just a mini one. She'll have the big one later on, but she had to go straight into Funny Girls.
So yeah, I got to lock myself in the bathroom and cry by myself, so no one really sees it. So that's, pull it together. You know, pull it together.
Yeah, I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah, no, yeah, Madeline especially.
You got a show to make. Yeah. I don't want to see that
shit. No, you're busy. You're in LA.
I'm in LA.
You just come over.
I got no time for tears.
Come over on your jet.
That's how she runs the set as well.
I got no time for the shit. No, it was the opposite, actually. I was like, you're going to female director now so we can all cry on set.
We hold hands. We do breathing exercises.
Yeah, I total call that.
When you're writing, full disclosure, audience, I did one writing session with Funny Girls.
Did you? What did you
do? Not a lot. I came in with ideas. Most of them were about tampons.
Yeah, but you gave amazing gags, I remember.
Thank you, Laura.
It was amazing.
I wasn't
there was a tampon sketch.
There was a tampon sketch.
I need $5,000.
Yeah.
You'll get some Westfield vouchers.
Alex, we'll have a sidebar conversation about that after the podcast.
And I quite liked the way that you guys have nice snacks when you write.
That's all for show.
Is it?
That's for you. There's no snacks.
Normally you're just eating like rusks.
There's a lot of shapes in the office, which I eat every day.
Yeah. So the snack situation, I know what you're talking about. Production tends to get lots of amazing snacks every time we did a read through with, like, the guest cast. So the cast would come in and then all of a sudden there's all these snacks on the table.
I don't know if you could class a bag of mini crunchy bars as amazing snacks, Laura. Like, I mean,
was,
I think you...
Yeah, there was like 10 bags of chocolate bars. Multiple packets of chips.
It's like a kid's party.
It
like
was a
fantasy.
Kid's party.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
That's what you want. No, I just thought it was like, the food that fuels funny girls.
Oh, yeah.
I remember
junk
there
food.
Being Mellow Puffs, which I thought was kind of weird because you only get like three.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a nightmare. I feel like it'd be a bit
Six.
Of a. Power
That's where
struggle.
Most of the budget went. It's not sustainable.
Six. Marilyn reminds me. Three if I'm around.
Yeah. I like how you say my name there, like Marilyn.
That is part of the problem with doing a Funny Girl season, though, is you tend to, if you're me and Rose, we both tend to eat a lot of snacks and by the end of it have a huge wave of depression from putting on quite a lot of weight.
There are a lot of crap snacks.
There's a lot of crap snacks on.
I think a memo went out halfway through, and then there was some like carrots and hummus.
And then the day there was no chocolate on set, before you should have seen it. There was five women, like the makeup artist, our costume designer, myself, Melon. I don't know.
Melon.
Everyone was going crazy. Like, and we were out and filming in the country in Flatbush. And the costume designer was like, should I just get in my car? Like, it must be half an hour to the next store. Like.
Got people hooked on the goddamn tiny crunchy bars.
This is great. Yeah. This is great. Writing, ideas, where do they come from? Are they real? Because a lot of the observations of Funny Girls, even if the sketch is like ludicrous, comes, I feel, genuinely from a place where women are like, holy shit, that's my life or whatever. Are there any in particular that are like based in kind of true life or embarrassing moments that you could name and shame?
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of hesitance.
One of the first sketches I ever wrote for was in season one. It was called ECP, and it was like the morning after pill.
Yeah,
I felt like everyone, well, most women can relate to that.
Yeah,
it was about embarrassing situations where you have to go in and ask for this emergency contraceptive pill.
Mm-hmm.
Because of just reasons from the night before, and. I remember, like, I just feel like that's a really embarrassing situation you put yourself in. And it honestly feels like someone's getting a speakerphone. Like, I've been in that situation where, like, I went into the pharmacy and they're like, sorry, the what?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just such a small, confined space. So I thought that was, like, quite a, you know, just the shameful things you have to go through, put your body through as a woman.
Yeah. That one was very real. I had, like... Oh my God, I can never go back to like this chemist in Sandringham.
Yeah.
I went and I gave my prescription. There were two like male chemists, and one of them, you know, there's like the guy out the back who's just like shuffling the pills, and he was like, Barry, Vagisil. And I was like, oh, you can't just yell Vagisil, like in the chemist. And everyone looked at me, and I was like, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Like, I just cannot be alive anymore.
They need to change the name of
just
that
call
thing.
It like. Call it. Hilarious.
Not Vagisil. That's so obvious what that is. I had to, when I was doing the vagina monologues, and conveniently I got thrush.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to give my cousin, because there's like posters of us, you know, ATC, vagina monologues, Madeline Sami, Danielle Cormack. And I was like, I cannot go into a pharmacy and get thrush medication. You have to, I made my cousin go and get it for me.
I love it.
It was a beautiful thing that she did.
Yeah, that's very touching. Or you could just wear a, like a giant scary rubber like George Bush mask or something and just casually rock in.
Yeah, and just steal all
that,
of
that wouldn't be weird.
Steal all of it. That would be fine.
That would be epic.
It's honestly easier than the reality.
I feel your guys' stuff was from your stand-up, like all the writers and their own like little stand-up stuff.
And often it's someone else points it out to you being like, hey, you know that joke you've got about this? That'd make a funny sketch. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time it comes out from stand-up. There's been a few that have come out from snort improvised scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one. This We've got a new song, a new song in this season that a couple of us sat down and wrote, and it's about having a booty call, and it was just like, oh cool, we're just spouting out just real experience into this.
It's just no fiction.
There's
now
no,
this
yeah.
is a documentary.
Yeah, it's a very very serious season of Funny Girls this year. It's all very very just
real.
Like the minutia.
Yeah,
it's just girls, that's what that is.
Yeah. It's just girls. Oh yeah. It's a show about women.
Yeah,
it's slightly funny.
Crazy. Anything else you want to shame anybody for before we move on from true to life sketches?
Shame a true to life sketch. Oh.
I don't know. I wasn't really in on the writing so much.
Yeah. No.
No, that's fine.
No.
Play it safe.
Oh, I mean, I know when you fuck that guy and then... No.
We do. Me and Rose have a few creep songs in there as well. Oh, and you, Madeline.
Well, oh, yeah.
The things creep we find songs. Sexually attractive, and that is something Rose has always found attractive, is when someone takes their T-shirt off. There's, like, a guy takes his sweatshirt off and his T-shirt gets stuck to his sweatshirt, so, oh, like, yeah, it kind of lifts up. And you see that little bottom bit, and you see, like, the V line going on into the...
Alex is digging it. Alex
No, because Rose tweeted this. I remember.
So we made that into a song, and then we're like,
thank
okay.
thank God.
Yeah, so we're like, let's all have a creepy thing. And then I've got one about being real into guys getting changed under their beach towel. You know when you go to the beach and you forget
like Mr.
to...
Bean.
Yeah, just really weird observations.
Yeah, hot. Yeah, hot like Mr. Bean.
It's like a sexy bean.
Yeah. Sexy.
Yeah. Cool. When you're writing, I mean, is it kind of just a feminist show just by existing with a female drive, do you think? Like, I just wonder when things announce themselves as being female driven and therefore kind of feminist and existing, there's that kind of scrutiny that comes not just from like show me who's holding the camera and all of that, but like in terms of the subject matter and how you tackle everything. It's like everything almost has to be perfect, you know. It's like Ghostbusters again. It was like everything has to be right, they can't screw this up. Have you kind of... do you feel that when you're writing? Like, oh, how's Twitter going to feel about this? And how's the internet going to react? Or do you just do it and just hope for the best?
I think there's a point when me and Rose were in the room and she's just like, let's just stop writing feminist shit. And we're like, just to the point where we're like, okay, we're getting across the messages we need to, but at the same time, like, let's not make it our only focus about what the jokes are. I think we've got the responsibility to, like, and just by... Well, I think what you said before, just by being woman, it's kind of feminist, isn't it? Because we're doing a comedy show that, and there isn't any...
It does feel like, I feel like just as an observer, more like that this season is more political.
Yeah.
Just in the writing and stuff, I think it's kind of more edgy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. But still in a really sweet, funny way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think you guys have pushed that a bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's... Like, we released a photo of a man dressed as a woman, and it was released without... he released the photo, and it's released without context, and we're like... And then straight away someone on Twitter jumped onto it, being like, I expected more from you guys, and we're like, no, we, like, trust us, we're not going to fuck this up. We're not going to...
Fuck Twitter, though.
We're not going to, like, write a really big transphobic piece. Like,
yeah, so it's not like Mrs. Brown's Boys season 12.
Well, it's taking the piss out of Mrs. Brown's Boys, essentially.
Right.
The problem is that, like, the TV station will probably see it and be like, oh, that'll make a great show.
The irony, yeah.
So we're, like, doomed ourselves.
More of that.
By suggesting. But, yeah, I don't think we ever do anything with a cruel intention at all, so...
But also you have to kind of put yourself out there, I think.
Yeah, like we definitely push it.
You have to kind of push it, and you have to, and you know, it's not always going to be, it's not always going to fly.
But
that's not the point. The point is just like, you know, trying it. And with a show like Funny Girls, that's an opportunity to kind of do that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. You're going to, like, you're not going to make everyone laugh.
Yeah. I learned that with, like, Super City and stuff. Like, the first season, I totally, like, bought into, like, light box. That's my other sting. It's a bit slow.
Yeah.
I'll think of something better. Light box. No, too scary.
Scary.
Too scary. No, I'm not going to do a third. No, but
Light box.
You're getting all this joke.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you.
We are going to use that forever. Thank you.
Oh, God. No, but like I totally read all the comments and stuff the first season, and I was terrible. What a terrible idea.
Mm.
Yeah. And then my...
I still read comments.
My wife was like, well, she wasn't my wife then. She was just somebody that I know, nude. And she was just like, don't ever do that. What a dick. Why did you do that? Because she's like, you know, she'd get like death threats and shit back in like MySpace days when she just put like a demo up. And she was just like, you know, the stuff that she's had. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that made me feel a bit better because I haven't had death threats.
Yeah.
But I just learned after that not to read anything. And then just to kind of, for me, it's like gauging, like when people come up to you, that like and say nice things or whatever. That's kind of the advice to take. And I think also like just watching back and being critical yourself, I think is really a good way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But like trolls are just so, I mean, their intentions are so fucked up most of the time. And their intentions, they don't have, if they had good intentions, like if they were going to criticize you in a way that was worthwhile for you to develop as an artist or whatever, then it would be awesome.
It'd be great.
It'd be great. It'd be a great interaction. Criticism. But their whole thing is about their own egos and their, they're just getting something off their chest, or they're just hate for the world or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's just nothing good in that interaction. There's nothing to be had from that interaction unless you really thrive off trolls, right?
Mm. Who thrives off trolls?
Anybody? Some people love it. Some people love retweeting it and go, look what this person said. Yeah. Or some people, like, I follow a few people on Twitter that retweet horrible stuff all the time to make fun of them and to kind of make themselves feel better, I guess. But then it feels like a pointless interaction, even them doing that in a way.
It is.
Because they're just helping. Well, I mean, it's kind of fun. I love that that's happened because it is important, I think, to – I feel like trolls have lost their power. When they first came out, it was like – oh, this is really scary. Like, what does this mean for the internet now? It's not a safe place. People are committing suicide, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like, but now I feel like they've lost a lot of power.
Yeah.
Especially on social media when you can share it and share their names and their faces hold them accountable.
Yeah, yeah.
Even bloody, like, you can email their employers.
You just let other people do the work as well. You're just like, oh, well. Because then people jump on and being like, that's a really cruel thing to say.
Yeah, yeah, like that, all the stuff that happened to Leslie Jones the other day about, like, Ghostbuster stuff. Like, that made me, I just about wanted to quit the whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah. I wanted to quit the internet that day because I was like, it's not a nice place when that stuff is happening.
It's like, who are these people? Go do something else.
Totally.
Yeah, go outside. Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Fuck the internet.
I think Rose gave me some really good advice, like when she left for London, and she was like, okay, just make sure you don't read the comments. Collect them all, put them in a bottle, and then one day of the year, drive to the beach and read them all and cry for 4 hours. And let out your hate.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No.
I just want to do it at all. It's just not, I mean, if you don't know that they're there, then you'll never know that they're there. You know, like if you don't ever read anything, you'll never know they're there. Or if they're out there at all.
That's a good point. Just this week, someone said something bad about me on John and Ben the other week. And my friend James, who works there, James Rock, he was just like, oh, did you see what that chick said? And like how Reese like totally brought her down for you. And I was like, oh no, but now you've brought it to my attention.
I'm gonna have to look
at what she said.
My mum used to do that. My mum did that when we put our first Siamese Sisters record out. And like that was when it hurt the most, actually, because you know, songwriting's like,
singing's quite personal.
Singing's personal, and it feels like way more vulnerable because you're singing
especially
about serious
if it's
shit.
Not a gag.
Yeah, it's not
song,
a gag. No,
if it's your real voice.
And like my mum would read everything and she'd be like, oh, what's this face? Didn't really like the record, did he? Yeah. Put that thing up, and I'm like, Mum,
don't.
My sisters would just cry, and then my mum would be, and then we're like, Mum, you have to stop reading stuff and telling us about it, okay? Because we're deliberately not reading anything. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, well, I don't know, well, you put yourself out there. I don't know why. Why do you put yourself out there then if you don't want to
just crush yourself into a bin and don't do anything?
Don't try.
Yeah.
Why don't have feelings. Try? Don't have feelings. Give up on your dreams. All that stuff.
I haven't done any segments yet, so it's time for a segment, and I thought you guys could sing the theme song.
Oh, what's the
segment?
The
segment's called Cool Tips.
Cool tips, cool tips, and cool tips. Yeah. Is it good?
That was great. Do you have any cool tips for people? You've had some great tips about the internet, but in terms of young women who might want to be going into similar industries as you, is there anything that you feel like you've done in particular that would be quite useful to pass on? Or did you just like ace it from the very beginning and that's kind of it?
If there's anything you want to do, do it. Just give it a go. Like, honest, like if you want something bad enough, I think you can make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Me and Alex are nodding at you like that moment in the movie where someone's just like said something and you realize we're all like, man.
It's like slow motion.
Yeah, like
Jose's not nodding.
Jose's asleep, I think. Oh, no.
He's watching the meter.
He's watching some weird... He's watching his parking meter.
No, but advice. I don't think you have time to because if you to buy into any fear of like thinking you'll fail or something, because then you know you'll never like that's it, the whole point of it is just putting yourself out there and really going for it, whatever you want to do. So like, you know, if you're like, okay, I want to get into comedy, then like go to a stand-up set even though it's terrifying, and then like just keep doing it no matter how hard you bomb.
I still haven't done that and I want to do that.
You should do it.
I'm scared of that,
but you you know, you've done, you've come at it a different way, like, you know, you're
I know, but it's a scary thing for me, and I should do it.
Yeah.
And now that you said that, I'm going to do it.
Well,
it's so inspiring to me.
I think I did it because not because I was like, oh, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. When I was like, I'm going to be an actress, and I like doing comedy, but I never thought about being a stand-up comedian. And then when I first did it, I was like, oh, I'm kind of shy when I do Snort, our improv show, and I'm like, maybe if I tried doing stand-up, I'd find my own kind of voice or something. And then I was like, okay. And so it's like the most terrifying thing you can do, I think, is putting out your own like, because when you're improvising something, people are like, oh, you're making it up on the spot, that's fine, it's a bit more forgiving. But when you're doing stand-up to like a drunk crowd at the Classic in Auckland, they'll be like, oh, this person actually thinks this is funny and they have spent time writing it. And they are coming here, and you know, so there's a bit more judgment there, so there's a bit more fear behind it, I think. But
for sure,
I mean, you just got to keep doing it no matter how shit you are. And that's the only way you get better.
Yeah.
Or get closer to anything, I think.
Yeah. My cool tips. I mean, I think it's funny, isn't it, being an artist or a comedian or an actor or whatever. Like, it's not an easy... I mean, everyone says it's not easy. Everyone knows it's not easy. There's not a lot of money in it.
No.
Unless you make it big.
Yeah.
But, like... I don't think I could have done anything else. And like, yeah, I mean, what Laura said is what I would say as well. It's like, you just have to do it.
Also,
you have to keep doing it. And you have to kind of just, I mean, I'm trying to think.
I feel like if you can
tip.
Be happy with going through massive phases of unemployment, going through embarrassing moments and being told no a lot.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you still want to be performing, you still want to be doing like, or whatever your goal is, if there's still nothing else you want to do in the world, then you have to just keep pursuing it. Like, you know, if you can handle all the other stuff, you just
gotta
keep going.
Like, I think also be yourself. Like,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people try and be, you know, they have an idea of what it is to be a successful person. Like if we're just talking in the industry. And they'll put something on and it's not real or genuine, but I think, you know, like I've got this cheesy quote. Well, it's not a cheesy quote. It's really cool. Actually, it's a letter between these two dancers in like the '30s. And it's a really great quote that I bring out every time I'm having like a moment of crisis where I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Why am I doing this? Which happens all the time. Once a year at least. And it's like, there's only one of you, I'm truncating it, but it's like, there's only one of you in the world, and you, it's not your job as an artist to judge what comes out of you. It's your job to be like the vessel for whatever comes out, and you're unique and it'll come out in a new, unique way, and your job is to be the kind of channel that comes through. And it's sort of, I don't know, I always think about that quote and think it takes it away from being about me and my own ego or whatever. It just makes it about having a, you know, being a creative person and needing to get that out and not judge it.
Yeah.
So I think for me, if you do have that desire to be a creative person, then it's just honoring that, like, that voice or whatever that thing is, and not, you know, not doubting it, and just kind of, yeah, sticking with it and being unique and not trying to be someone that you're not.
Yeah.
Just let it flow.
I sound like a hippie, eh? I sound like a real hippie there.
Yeah.
No,
you sound good.
It's bloody inspirational.
I see the words honor at one point. Today I've said artist a few times.
I actually thought I was going to cry. Like, yeah. It was crazy.
A few
tears
coming, waterworks.
That's because you've had too much water.
It's actually bursting out of my eyes.
Maybe you're like a colander of a person. You know what I mean? Maybe it's your pores. And maybe you just sweat. Do you sweat a lot?
Yep. Right now I'm sweating quite a lot. I would say. This is too much to say on a podcast. I sweat the bed most nights.
Hey, so do I. So do I.
Sweat a lot. Hot-blooded.
No matter what my sheets are, no matter what my pajamas are.
Hey, I do too. That's crazy.
Oh, thank God.
No, it's
I
always
really
like
took a gamble putting that out there.
It's cool. It's night sweats, right? It's a thing. Night sweats. Night sweats. Working on the night sweats.
Night sweats.
This is amazing.
Night That's going to be a new song for Funny Girl Season 3. It's going to be night sweats.
I would like $5,000.
You're not getting any money. You're getting Westfield vouchers, and that's that.
Questions.
What vouchers you want? Glassons?
Yeah. Yep. I would not say no to that.
We've got a lot of shapes in the office.
That was a trick question. They've got a very low ethical rating.
Yeah.
Okay, you got Kmart vouchers and that's that.
I don't have any ethical boundaries, so it's fine.
I want to talk about night sweats more, but we'll talk about that off.
Well, what do you want to say about it?
Nothing.
It is a problem. Again, that doctor that I asked for earlier, if you're still listening, tell us about night sweats and how to fix them.
Throughout the summer.
Do you roll your body in deodorant?
I don't think so.
Talk about it.
I tried to get Ryan, my partner, and I tried to make him sleep on a towel over the summer because I just got a new sheet. So I was like, you fucking like wake up drenched in sweat.
A ceiling posturepedic sponge bed.
Absorbent.
God, like that's going to get the room so random.
See, there you go again, trying to get bloody sleep on
a towel. I think sleep deodorant needs to be developed.
Sorry.
Madeline, when you came on as a director.
Yeah.
Did
this is a question for me.
Did
Laura?
It change in any way? Well, it's actually kind of for Laura again.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, is it?
Was it different having a female director?
Yes. Funny Girls. God damn.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it was different.
Or Madeline, what did you do differently as a woman being a director?
She doesn't know.
No,
she
I want to know what Laura thinks.
Did what she did.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
It was different, and it was great.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really. I think it was really positive. I think it's what the show needed. Because, if you're going to make a show about women, whatever, you should probably have a woman. With Madeline on set, you walked on and it was instantly, she created this environment that was super positive and super, she was very performance driven. She would always come up to us and be like, she was always about our well-being, especially with me and Rose. She worked with us so hard on all our bits. She'd take us to rehearsals beforehand. She was very concerned. And so I think it's going to come through in our performances this season. I think we went further with our acting. Because the set was such a great vibe. And everyone, it was as we've said, so many of the crew were it's like a big family.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the kind of environment you want to be filming in. And so luckily we had Madeline there to and she really, that's her, I think that's another, this should be in the cool tip section, but you should always be nice to everyone you ever met. And I'd never see anyone walk on set. I think Madeline's a real good example of how you should treat people when they come into any kind of set. But she does. She really, no matter who they are, big or small, they're always treated with utmost respect on set. I mean, she jokes around, she messes around heaps, but again, it kept it fun. You need to have fun on set, because if you're not having fun, you're not going to make a funny show.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been the biggest difference with having Madeline on board this year.
Oh,
you're so sweet.
Shut up.
You guys are about to get hurried out of this room. We have so much more to cover. Should we just say? One last thing of why? What's season two? You've said it's more political. You've said it's something else. I forgot.
Sweaty. It's more sweaty.
Because of you, it'll be more sweaty. Why should people tune back in?
If you were a fan of the first season, you should tune back in.
If you weren't a fan of the first season, you should tune back in.
Yeah, just, go outside your friggin' comfort box.
It's a good show with good young, supporting awesome young comic talent. I mean, I really, loved every minute of being part of this. It's, the kind of show that, people just, no one's getting paid enough. There's never enough time to do anything, but the spirit is really right. And everyone just loves each other so much that they just want to do the best job they can in their department, whatever that is. And I think just to be part of something like that is really exciting because, no one's just there for a paycheck. Everyone's, because there's not much of a paycheck. So it's nice to be part of something where
it's made with a lot of love.
Yeah. People are just going hard and, people just going hard or going home, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm in my head too much now. I am in my head now. I'm like, you sound like a fucking wanker. But it is, it was real nice to be part of something.
Yeah.
That feels exciting.
If you like the sitcom aspect of our show, you should definitely. Like, it's gotten so much better, I think. We've just taken it a step further. Rose and Laura's friendship is totally explored this season, as is Jackie's own personal relationships with new people. Yeah. So it's really exciting to watch those three especially develop and go forward.
Yeah.
And still have their troubles.
Yeah. It's
and
cool.
Have similar.
It just gets deeper. It gets deeper with the characters this year because you know them now, and the show itself knows itself. Like last year they were working out what the show was.
Yeah.
And this year there's already a kind of structure for the way the show is, and so you can get deeper with the characters. And
there's one episode that's full drama, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's just
well, it's funny, but it's
dramedy.
Sweet.
But you know.
Yeah, so it gets a bit emo and points in a good way.
Who says emo anymore?
Oh, fuck you, man.
It's coming back. Oh, my Chemical Romance re-releasing
their album. I'm 36 years old, okay? I'm 36 years old. There are some things that we are just not going to connect on. And one of them is me using the word emo.
You're like 11 years older than me.
My wife. How about that? Also, can I bring that back?
That's timely. That's Jeffrey comeback.
Yeah, baby. I don't even know if that's the right quote. I'm starting to be like a dad and misquote quotes. My wife.
Hey, thanks, guys. You gotta go. You gotta go finish this bloody show.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go and finish the show.
Thanks, Madeline. Thanks, Laura. Thank you, funny girls. And Jose. And
Lightbox. Thanks, Alex.
Lightbox.
Tune in to Funny Girls Season 2 whenever it happens. Bye.
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 'Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-off Podcast Network.